Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Tottenham story is this. It's time to change the situation if Tottenham want to change.
I love to win, mate. That's the main thing. Hopefully I can fulfill those dreams and aspirations of every Tottenham supporter.
And still Ricky Villa. What a fantastic run. He scored.
That's going to have a crack. He is, you know.
I'm loving big engines. Guess I'm a Spurs fan now then.
Hello and welcome to the Tottenham Way after another enthralling game for Ange Postecoglou in the North London Derby. His first North London Derby, a 2-2 result at the Emirates. I mean, Spurs wait for a win there goes on, but overall a very encouraging performance once again for Spurs. So two Toms doing the reaction here. I'm Tom Barkley from the Sun, and I'm joined by Tom Allnut from The Times. Tom, where do you start with that? Because, as I said, overall, very encouraging again.
Yeah, it wasn't obviously the win, I guess, to kind of end that long winless run, but it sort of felt like a win, I thought, at the end. I mean, it was very noteworthy that when the final whistle blew, the Arsenal fans were kind of shuffling out. You know, a few of them had already gone. Whereas the Spurs fans were the ones singing, you know, and applauding, and the players went over into the corner at the end and Postecoglou went over it. You know, it felt like a real sort of statement performance, I thought. And I think that was what Postecoglou was wanting. I mean, it was, you know, interesting that in the press conference before the match, wasn't it? He kind of said, you know, you can go into these games and you can get a draw and you can sort of survive, but what does that mean? And he basically said nothing, you know, and they came out with a draw, but they definitely didn't survive. You know, they played very well. I thought, if anything, it was a funny match because I thought it was very even. I don't think you could really say at the end of it, someone really deserved to win, you know, clearly more than the other one. I think a draw was probably a fair result. But if you really had to hang your hat on someone, I thought Spurs were the better team in the second half. You know, and I think in the last, there was a sort of a spell, wasn't there, in the kind of between 60 and sort of 80 minutes where I really felt Tottenham had Arsenal on the ropes there, you know, and there was a sort of feeling in the stadium where it was just a little bit tense. The fans, Arsenal fans, were getting a little bit kind of frustrated. They just didn't seem to have any flow. And I really thought, wow, Spurs are really on this, you know, and if they can score here, then they can get the victory. So I guess it's the only, you know, slight disappointment, and it's a very slight one, is I think actually they could have won the game today. But I do think it was a great match. I think Arsenal feel like they could have won as well. They had some great chances, particularly that Jesus one, obviously a 1-0. But I think overall, this is a massive, massive result for Tottenham and a massive performance.
Yeah, I think you're right. It did remind me a bit of the Man United game, which obviously Spurs did win that, in the way they kind of weathered the storm a little bit early doors. And on another day, it could have gone a different way. You know, Jesus, as you say, nicking the ball off Maddison and blazing over. And Nketiah had a chance. Good saves from Vicario. You know, if they found themselves two or three behind by then, it probably would have been unfair on the performance, but it wouldn't have been a shock because they had those chances, and then it would have been a different result. And, you know, you're talking about the fans. I mean, one of my mates who was in the away end, you know, says he needs a lie down for a week after that. So must have been quite a raucous atmosphere in amongst those away fans. We could definitely hear it from where we were sitting. And you like that Man United game, you know, the way they weathered the storm. And then afterwards, they went from strength to strength as the game grew on. And I felt like, as you say, Arsenal kind of felt like they were running out of ideas a little bit. And if it was going to be one team that was going to go on and win it, it felt like Tottenham, which again speaks to their fitness levels, but also just the fact that they're sticking with these Postecoglou principles, the way they want to play. It's, as you said, right from the top, and it's something we've been reiterating throughout the season, particularly on these reaction pods after games, that his whole mantra of it's irrelevant, you know, nicking a win, no use to them whatsoever. It's about building something. And he himself reiterated that after the game, saying, you know, if they had lost but they played this way, he would have been happy because it would have been another step in the progress. And you can see it. And that's what gives so many Spurs fans, you know, confidence and excitement for the future. And as we said before the game, if Arsenal had won it, but Spurs had played in such a way that gave Spurs more hope more and more hope from every passing game, it seems, but more hope that they're building towards something than they would have accepted that. But to come away with a point and almost feel, as you say, frustrated that they didn't have a bit more, it have to take all 3 points, shows just how exciting it is so quickly. And I guess, you know, we can come on to some individuals, but just on that point, I think it was Nick Ames from The Guardian was asked Ange after the game in the presser, which we were both in. The question was essentially, you know, given where Spurs have come from and the mess, let's be honest, that he inherited when he came in, and the fact that Arsenal are and likely will be this season, you know, Premier League title challengers, do you feel ahead of schedule at this point to be where you are and getting a result like this? And I mean, maybe you can pick it up from here, Tom, and what Ange's response was, really.
Tell me what it was.
Okay. He essentially said, look, like, I don't have a schedule.
I don't have a schedule.
And I don't know whether he was, you know, whether that's definitely the truth, whether he does sort of, you know, have something in mind about where he wants the club to be. But, I think there was a valid point in that question, is that I think most, by all intents and purposes, most Spurs fans, even the most optimistic ones, would never have expected them to be where they're at this point. They're undefeated in the Premier League, you know, got results against Man United, away at Arsenal, and the football they're playing. I don't think it can be overstated what a turnaround it's been from where they were last season. Not just the change in football, but the mood. They've lost Harry Kane, they're the greatest ever player. And to be playing like this with new players coming into the team all the time is just very, very impressive.
Mm. I mean, it surprised me, I have to say. Like, I fully admit that I've been expecting more bumps. You know, I think I've been sort of pessimistic about sort of this start of this new era, because I just felt like it would take time, you know, and they lost Kane, obviously, and they lost everything. They lost their kind of identity. They lost everything, you know, in terms of the board. And, you know, we know everything they've been through, the club, in the last few months. I've been surprised how, I think probably Postecoglou deep down is also surprised how quickly his methods have kind of bedded in, how quickly the players have bought into it. I fully expected Arsenal to win today. I think I said on the pod the other day, I thought they would win, because I just think, you know, you look how well they played midweek against PSV. They're, you know, a very well-oiled team. They're 3 or 4 years ahead of Spurs in this project. They've got some really good players, you know, and Spurs are playing at the Emirates. I mean, this was the ultimate test. I mean, I asked Postecoglou in the pre-match press conference, you know, how do you instill the kind of belief in your players to keep taking risks and to play the way you want them to play in this kind of match, you know, against one of Europe's form teams, you know, away from home at a place where you haven't won in 13 years in the league, you know. And I think probably the most impressive thing today was that perseverance, you know, right from the start. You could see that Tottenham, I mean, it was interesting that kind of first 5 or 10 minutes, I thought, when both teams were kind of finding each other out. Spurs, I thought, were the dominant team. I mean, I turned to the guy next to me in the press box and kind of said, I don't think Arsenal have had the ball yet. And that was after about 5 or 6 minutes. You know, Spurs are popping the ball around around the defence in those triangles, which we saw all match. You know, Vicario, Van de Ven, Romero and Bissouma dropping in, making those kind of triangles around the Arsenal press. And just the bravery to do that, you know, even under pressure, even when the Arsenal fans were really up for it and, you know, really, it would have been so easy for them to clip the ball high, you know, to go straight up to Son and just hope for the best, you know. But that happened so rarely, you know. It happened 2 or 3 times maybe, but it happened so rarely.
It did happen rarely, but actually, now that you mention it, there was a moment, I think, in the second half where Romero clipped a lovely ball through, and I think it was Maddison who broke the line, and he was so close to getting onto it. So that which may have, you know, if he had connected with it and brought it down, that could have been a goal. So that sums up the way it's not just wedded to one route, albeit mainly they do play with these triangles. And just on that point, I mean, I know you can look into stats for a lot of things. They can tell you a lot of whatever you want to read into them sometimes. But I do think the passing stats in this game, in contrast to the game last year where they'd obviously lost 3-1 under Conte, does really emphasise the turnaround. So I was looking at it, and in the game last year, they made 307 passes in total in the game, with Arsenal 535, so complete dominance from Arsenal's point of view. This time round, these are just total passes, not completed passes. This time round, 435 from Spurs, only 370 from Arsenal. I mean, if that doesn't show, you know, not only the sort of possession-based, progressive style of play Spurs want to play, I don't know what does. And the fact that they can dominate possession away from home against a team like Arsenal. I mean, it's just, I can't reiterate enough like how impressed I am by this complete turnaround.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they basically, sometimes they look better than Arsenal at some of those things that we've seen Arsenal be so good at, you know, playing out from the back in really small spaces under pressure. Some of the touches, you know, from Maddison and Bissouma, you know, in really small areas with you know, three or four red shirts right there. There was some really nice kind of transitional play out from the back from Spurs. And, you know, it's obviously worth saying there were two or three times where it didn't work. And obviously the clear case was with Maddison, where he just took that touch. The triangle was there and he needed to play the ball first time. I think it was to the, was it to Van de Ven? He needed to kind of play it with to the left, basically first time. He rolled it over his, with it over his studs, and he just didn't have the time for that. And Arsenal should have scored. You know, Jesus should have scored, you know, blazed it over. And if they went 2-0 up, then maybe we're talking about a different game and we're saying, you know, Spurs need more time and all this. And but that is the risk you take. And, you know, you listen to all these kind of evangelical managers who believe in this kind of way of playing, and they all say the same thing. They all say that the risks ultimately are worth it. You know, that if the goalkeeper comes out and presses high and gets chipped every so often and you get lobbed from the halfway line, fine. But for that one goal, you know, we've had 20 games worth of him coming out and sweeping up. You know, that's what they'll say. And it's the same here. You know, they'll say, yeah, you will get caught. And there will be goals like that where Jesus will put that in the top corner. But it's worth it for all the other 10, 20 games when you play the ball out from the back and you draw the team out and you create chances. That's why coaches like Postecoglou, they believe in it. And they don't think that these one mistakes, these one errors that, you know, lead to goals that look terrible on Match of the Day. They don't think that those mistakes mean that the method isn't working. No, but I think just to finish that point, the one impressive thing about that spell in the first half when that Maddison mistake happened was Tottenham could easily have got rattled at that point. You know, it was a similar kind of time when Udogie got booked for the Saka challenge and Arsenal players were very much on him and the fans were on him. A couple of minutes later, he plays that back pass and I think it's Nketiah, isn't it, who gets in and maybe should have done better with the chance. And you think, ooh, like, Spurs are, you know, could easily fold here, but they didn't. You know, they kept playing, they kept passing, they eased their way back into the match. And by the end of the half, Tottenham with a better team, I thought half time came at a good moment for Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, on that point, you mentioned the question you gave to asked Ange in the pre-match press. So I think your question, again, not to sing your praises too much, but in this post-match one, which was explicitly that, you know, that your team could have got rattled and may well have done in years gone by after those mistakes or pressure they put under. But the way they sort of managed to keep up their brave approach style of play, you know, how happy are you with that? And he very much agreed and was agree with you saying that that was one of the things he was most pleased with on that point. I mean, back to what you're saying about the risk and reward stuff. I mean, I do obviously bow to the higher powers that are Postecoglou, that are De Zerbi. But it's funny watching some of the clips from the games today on the way back on the train back from Spurs. And I don't know if you've seen the Brighton one yet, but Verbruggen, the goalkeeper, has been chipped by Dominic Solanke from 30 yards after having the ball taken off him. And it wasn't just the Maddison chance today. There was a moment, I think I forget which half, but Bissouma got his pocket picked by Declan Rice. It must have been the first half because Rice came off injured at halftime. And Bissouma managed to recover and win it back. But again, it could have been, if he hadn't done that, I think Arsenal would have been in. So it's just something that the best tacticians seem to want to go down this way. And I guess, you know, back to your point about it being worth it in the long run. Yeah, I suppose that must be right, but it's still, sometimes you look at it and you think, why are they doing that? But there you go. Onto some individual.
It was interesting. I think I got the feeling, I don't know what you thought, Tom, but in the stadium that the first kind of 20-30 minutes, or in fact, generally throughout the game, I thought they were trying to slow the game down a bit. You know, there were two or three times where Vicario had the ball at his feet and he was basically just waiting, you know, like waiting for an Arsenal player to come to him. And I think that was partly because it's part of the plan. You know, you want to pull the striker out. They're basically saying, you come, and then there's a spare player to pass to. But it was also because I think Spurs were trying to kind of just bring down the atmosphere, bring down the kind of the drama of the whole match, you know, and they were trying to play themselves in. But I also thought, conversely, they looked their most dangerous sometimes when they played fast, you know, through Arsenal. And when they brought the Arsenal press out, sometimes that pass they played through the midfield to Kulusevski or something, and suddenly thought, wow, the game just opened up, you know, and they had Johnson, or they had Kulusevski running at Arsenal on the break. And it was kind of like, I don't know, it was getting that balance between sort of the tipper tapper sort of around the kind of back triangles, and then also playing that ball forward quickly and getting forward. I think at times in the first half, they were a little bit almost too ponderous, you know, a little bit too cautious, I think. In the second half, I think they got more and more belief. They thought, actually, we can go win the game. And they started to play forward a little bit faster and play through the midfield, through Bissouma and Sarr, who I think got better and better throughout the game. And that's where the game really opened up for them.
I agree. But then, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that that happened in the second half when Rice had gone off. I mean, I thought Rice was very good in the first half, as he always seems to be. And that was a huge blow from Arsenal's point of view to lose a player like that. And obviously, Jorginho is the one who basically cost Arsenal the game to a certain extent with, again, being caught out trying to do something silly, really, on the ball, trying to drag back with Madison exposed and played that lovely ball through to Son. I mean, just the nuts and bolts of the game. Obviously, Arsenal took the lead. Very unlucky from Romero. I was again, watching the highlights back, I think Neville was being quite critical of Romero for sort of sticking his leg out there. And obviously, it was an own goal and diverted a completely different way. Did you think that was... I think that's a little bit harsh on Romero. What do you reckon, Tom?
I don't know, maybe a bit harsh. I didn't think it was a great... I don't know what he was trying to do. I guess he was trying to block the ball, right? But I think it wasn't great. I mean, I think he was dangling out a leg in a way that was a bit like, what are you trying to achieve there? Because you're not in the right position for it. At best, you know, it goes behind for a corner or something, but it could easily have sliced across the box. It could have gone anywhere. I just think he wasn't quite... I wouldn't say it was, you know, it wasn't a glaring error, but I don't think it was great defending. Interestingly, the kind of build-up, I don't know if you saw this, Tom, it came, I think it was this goal when Kulusevski basically found himself up the pitch on the right, and he basically had no one really around him. And he had this thing where he was sort of dribbling the ball out to the right wing from inside, and he had no support really. And I think he basically decided, look, there's no one around me, so I may as well try and take on, you know, these two or three Arsenal players. And he tried to take him on, lost the ball. And suddenly Spurs were completely open, and it seemed like the team was just slightly unbalanced. And you could see Postecoglou on the side, even before the goal happening, before the chance came, he sort of twisted on his heels as though, like, you know, I think he wanted Kulusevski to turn back, recycle, and kind of let the team reset. But because he took that gamble, tried to beat the player, I guess it must have been Zinchenko, lost it, Arsenal then switched it to Saka, who then, you know, had the cross shot and it went in off Romero. And I think it was just that kind of one of those moments where you could see Postecoglou's frustration. I think that Spurs tried to do something too quickly. You know, he wants kind of control of the ball all the time. He wants low risk, you know, short passes, not low risk in terms of caution, but low risk passes, you know, 10 yards. And it was interesting that he found that Kulusevski giveaway, you know, frustrating even moments before Arsenal scored.
Yeah, I mean, that sums up, you know, when he talks about them being... having a long way to go. I think that is a very good example of something that he would probably hope to cut out as the more they train under him. And it is fascinating, you know, as journalists, we're very lucky. Depends what stadium you're at, how near you are to the manager. But obviously, when you're watching on TV, you can't always see the manager. But just watching Postecoglou and his reactions, a bit like De Zerbi to a certain extent, you can tell what they've been working on or what he's been trying to get into the players based on when he gets frustrated, really. And then there was a moment when Brennan Johnson didn't sort of forget. It was quite early on where he didn't quite commit to race in on a loose ball. And you could tell that he was expecting a bit more from that point of view. Or right at the end of the game, there was a moment where perhaps a break was on for Spurs and he just basically just hacked it away. He must have been pretty tired, to be fair, at that point. But you could see in Postecoglou's face, you know, the frustration about the lack of composure. And I don't not want to have a go at Pap Sar, because again, he was very good. But again, things for them to work on. Then just back to the goals. Obviously, the first goal for Son, I mean, great work from Madison. Saka, I think a little bit at fault, letting him sort of wriggle past him and get down to the byline, cut it back. What a finish from Son. And then, obviously, Arsenal scored the penalty. Let's come back to the penalty in a second, but I just want to stick on Madison and Son and that combination. As I already alluded to, you know, Madison nicked the ball off Jorginho. Lovely little pass through to Son, who very composed finish for 2-2. And for so many years, and I kind of did this as my colour piece for my, so my colleague was doing the main match report for people to understand how newspapers work. I was doing a sort of more focus on something else. And mine was, you know, over the years, Tottenham have always had, just for lack of trophies, at least they've always had the most sort of deadly duo in the Premier League in Son and Kane. And obviously Kane's left, as we well know, but it feels like already Madison and Kane have a similarly, I'm not going to say telepathic like Kane and Son were, or felt like, not literally, but, you know, not far off relationship. But they've got a very close relationship, it seems, on the pitch. What did you make of that particular Maddison partnership?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I think Maddison said in an interview with one of the broadcasters afterwards, you know, he said, we're working on it. You know, I think that is, it's still in its early stages. It's definitely not kind of right there yet. It's not nearly anywhere near the levels of Kane and so on, obviously, but it doesn't surprise me that they have a connection, and Maddison, you know, can find anyone and so on, is so good at making those runs. I was surprised with the goal that I thought Saka was just, you know, I think he was a bit lazy, or maybe he switched off. I don't know what happened, but he was the wrong side of Maddison. And I think he was sort of hoping for the best. And Maddison just said, thanks very much, you know, twisted away from him, just managed to keep the ball in off the line. And as you said, it was a really good finish because he was had two defenders there, didn't he? And it sort of looked easy, but actually he had to kind of really squeeze it in. So, and yeah, we had that thing with the kind of celebration, right? It was Saka celebrating the first goal. With a kind of Maddison celebration,
the dance.
You sort of think, I don't know. It's kind of sweet poetry that the moments later Maddison sort of spins off from Saka and then creates the equaliser. You know, and I mean, apparently they're really good mates, and the whole kind of arrow celebration was, you know, mooted as a joke that if I score in the derby, then I'm going to nick your celebration kind of thing. So, but it did feel like it was sort of slightly tempting fate.
Yeah, I suppose so. And just on Son, I mean, I asked Ange in the post-match presser about him and how impressed he's been. That's five goals now in the Premier League, but just the way he stepped up in Kane's absence, but as a leader. And, you know, you can just tell that Ange just can't think higher of this guy. He just thinks he's such a selfless player, such a hard worker for the team. I think he said he's always team first. And I mean, we've always seen that on the pitch anyway, but particularly as us journalists, he's always someone who fronts up after the games. He always, whenever you ask him questions, if you want to try and get him on himself, he always phrases it in a way that, again, just as Ange says, puts the team first. You know, he must be an absolute manager's dream. And I can't help but be impressed with how he's taken to this, to the captaincy. As we've talked about Romero stepping up from the sort of vice captain point of view and James Maddison. But I mean, this week sort of felt a bit more like Son taking the spotlight as the actual captain, and a clinical performance that once again, the goals being shared around the whole team. It's got to be something that's very exciting for Postecoglou. Your last year, they 30 goals for Kane. How are they going to deal with that? And his answer has been, well, I'm just going to get everyone in the team scoring goals, but Son is leading the way.
Yeah, I wonder if we might be sort of just seeing the start of like a Son 2.0, you know, like I always sort of, I have to say, assumed that Son would be kind of coming to the end here of his sort of Spurs career, and they might shift him in the next kind of year or two, you know, and then maybe we've seen the best of him. But maybe it might be kind of, I don't know, it'd be like kind of Roger Federer becoming more of a servant volleyer like late in his career, you know, is sort of seeing Sonny, is it possible that he'll become a sort of more of a number nine? And the two finishes, they were both quite instinctive, you know. I mean, okay, for the second one, he had to sort of run away, like, you know, and get in behind and show his speed, I guess. But still, it was quite a kind of instinctive, smart finish. Definitely for the first one, it was a sort of a predator's goal, really. And maybe we're going to see this, you know, the Son that we used to know of, a kind of left winger sort of sprinting and off the touchline inside. But maybe now it's going to be more filling the Harry Kane position, scoring some more kind of instinctive close range kind of finishes in and around the box. I don't know, with Johnson off the left, I guess it raises that possibility. But yeah, I mean, he played great today.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, moving on to Johnson and Son, I suppose. I mean, suddenly he's got so many options. We all thought Richarlison would come back in after that excellent cameo against Sheffield United. I think we all talked about how he felt he might be quite a fitting player for the back to sort of put pressure on Gabriel and Saliba, who, to be honest, I thought were probably Arsenal's best players. So that doesn't mean that argument we had didn't hold water, but obviously Son fully justified his selection with a couple of goals. But Johnson,
I guess the only thing was, it was interesting that he took him off. I mean, I know that he said off, isn't he? He was sort of carrying a bit of a knock or something, yeah. You know, and that he was, I don't know, playing through injury is probably too strong, but it was a bit of a shame. He was obviously on his hat trick, and he just kind of felt that I couldn't help feel that Arsenal's defenders would have kind of breathed a bit of a sigh of relief when he went off. You know, Richarlison coming on is obviously a nice impact sub to have. And you're never quite sure what Richarlison's going to deliver. But I thought that when they took off Maddison and Son, he just kind of felt like that attacking impetus. You know, Spurs did lose something there.
Yeah, although Richarlison still had a decent half chance right at the end of the game, didn't he? When Kulusevski cut it back to him. Didn't quite take it, unlike last week, unfortunately. But yeah, on Johnson. So first start, bit of a surprise, perhaps, that he was chucked straight in. Playing in off the left, we were sort of wondering what was going to happen. We heard he might start, but where would he start? Would he start on the right? Maybe Kulusevski goes to the left, or maybe even play through the middle with some on the left. Obviously, he started on the left. And I thought he was dangerous. He was dangerous. He had a couple of chances he probably should have scored. I mean, the David Raya save in the first half, where it was a lovely move, wasn't it? Kulusevski racing into the box, playing a nice little ball through to Son, who cut it back. And there was Brennan Johnson. And it wasn't a bad connection. And it was a good save from Raya. It looked really good on the highlights with the sort of dive he put in to save it. But it's one of those ones where it's a good save, but also if he doesn't save it, I think that would be poor. He should save it. And if Johnson really really walloped it in, I don't think he would have got there. So that was a good chance. And he had the shot in the lead up to the Sun first equaliser. But even though he didn't score, I just already think he's going to be a real asset to Postecoglou's options. And you can see why he was so excited to bring him in.
Yeah, I thought he was okay today. I didn't think he was spectacular. I don't think he played badly, but I thought he was maybe playing it quite safe. It was sort of the impression I got, someone who didn't want to kind of give the ball away, and maybe with more confidence, more rhythm, he'll be sort of slightly more aggressive and running past people a bit more direct. A couple of times when he sort of turned back and kind of kept the ball, when maybe I would have expected him to sort of, take someone on 1v1. That said, he's up against White, who's a very good one-on-one defender. We talked about Saliba, and I thought Arsenal defended very well today, so it's definitely not an easy job. I thought he did fine. I don't think it was a brilliant performance, and we don't know, do we? I mean, maybe when people listen to this we'll know more, but it seemed like he may be a hamstring strain or something. Yeah. so let's see.
Yeah, that's what Postecoglou said. He said we'll have to find out, hamstring problems, so hopefully it's nothing too serious. And at least with Spurs this season, particularly being out of the cup, which would have been this week for them, if they'd gone through, they'll have lots of time to rest up in between fixtures. I guess we should touch on the penalty. I don't know. I mean, basically, Postecoglou after the game was imploring the authorities to clear up exactly what's handball and what isn't. I'm kind of with him. I'm always a bit uncertain when these things happen. Personally, at the time, I thought it was probably a penalty, but then, as I said, Neville on the commentary was suggesting that even though his hand was sort of raised, Romero, when Ben White hit the shot from close range, he was on the stretch. And naturally, if you're stretching for a ball, you can't, if you have your hands on lower down, you're going to fall over. So it's quite a natural position for your hand to be in that instance. So I do think Postecoglou also has a point. I don't know.
That's the difficulty, isn't it? That's the difficulty with the natural, unnatural thing. It's like, if I'm standing up straight and I'm standing still, then I guess you can make an assumption about what my natural position of my hand should be, like down by my side, right? But as soon as you do something that's slightly, unnatural, like you do all the time in a football match, and particularly in the six-yard box when you're desperately trying to block a shot, that kind of lunge that Romero does is not a natural position. So who's then to say what your hand position should be in that already unnatural position? That's why I kind of agree with Postecoglou. The rule is, it's difficult. But it was interesting. I don't think he actually even said he didn't think it was a penalty. He was just kind of expressing frustration about the kind of grey areas in the handball rule. I personally thought it was a penalty. I think that, White hits the shot, Romero saves it essentially. And if he doesn't save it, then it's either going to go in or it's going to require a really good save. I think it's a penalty, and I think it was a fair call in the end. It took too long to get to that point of awarding it, but I think it was a penalty.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just the fact that he expressed, the sort of bafflement on behalf of everyone just once again sums up how he often just says the thing that everyone kind of agrees with, really. He often has that sort of the people's champion kind of touch about the way he conducts himself in public, I find, with Postecoglou. I guess we could go through the whole team, but personally, I thought Destiny Udogi deserves special mention, given that he was up against probably the best right winger in the league, particularly on form in Bukayo Saka. And he got booked after 15 minutes for a foul on Saka. And at that point, you were worrying, even though Udogi's for anyone who's been watching Spurs closely, as all these listeners will have been this season, has obviously played really, really well. But that is a serious test. And I have anything, as Postecoglou said in his post-match pressure, I think he probably won that battle overall. Even though Saka scored and got an effectively an assist for the own goal, I thought Udogie got stronger and stronger throughout the game. Once again, impressing with not only his obviously his physicality and his pace and all that, all those kind of attributes, but just his composure on the ball, his creativity, his drive going forward. I'm not sure right now I'd swap him for any other left back in the league.
Yeah, I mean, he did have the, sort of that hairy 5 or 6 minutes, you know, and but someone behind me kind of said, oh, Udogie's having a nightmare. And I thought, well, he's not actually. Like, I thought for the first 20 minutes, he played pretty well. And then for the rest of the match, he was also, I thought, excellent, you know, and he just had those two moments, but it was a funny performance. It was very difficult to kind of give him a rating out of 10 because you thought, well, he's generally been an 8, but you know, in those two moments were kind of more like a 4 or 5. But no, I agree with you. I thought he was excellent, and for me, I thought Bissouma was immense. You know, I mean, just the way he played. I mean, to say that he was the best midfielder in a match against Arsenal is high praise in a game with Rice and Odegaard in there as well. And I thought he just bossed the midfield the whole match. You know, his physicality, the way he passed the ball, the way he carried it sometimes. You know, there were 2 or 3 really good dribbles where he, you know, carried it out of his final third and got Spurs on the attack. And I thought he played with a certain kind of irritation, almost like tenacity today, you know, which I really liked. And he almost a bit kind of, sometimes with Bissouma, you kind of think you want him just to sort of grasp the net a little bit more. And I thought he had that today. It was almost like, this is a big game. I've been playing well. I'm not playing for my place anymore. I'm playing to kind of dominate the match. And I thought he was absolutely outstanding. I really did.
You spoke to
him. I think
him.
Sarr as well, just one word for Sarr, because I thought he wasn't great in the first half, but I thought he was excellent in the second half. I think there was a moment where I really thought, wow, Spurs, this Postecoglou Spurs, we know they're going to be fun to watch and they're going to be a good passing team. But the way Bissouma and Sarr are dominating that midfield in that moment, I thought they're going to be a hard team as well, a physical team. And that wasn't something I expected to happen as quickly as it has.
Just quickly on Bissouma, you spoke to him in the lead up to this game. Can you give us a bit of insight into what he was like?
Yeah, he was good fun, actually. Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll talk about it a bit more in midweek when we have a bit more time. But he was, really, really nice to chat to. Talked about the kind of, you know, difficulties of last season with Conte. He was very honest about that. I mean, he didn't really want to kind of, you know, criticise Conte or, you know, say anything that was going to be too damaging or whatever. But he was very honest about how his confidence was really low, you know, and he basically kind of said at one moment, you know, I had to kind of tell myself, you know, I know who I am, I know how good I can be, I know what kind of footballer I am, you know. And it was quite clear that he just sort of lost a sense of self, I think, last season, and already, you know, he's feeling back to himself under Postecoglou, and I think you can see that in the way he's playing. I mean, I thought Tom as well, another person to kind of highlight, I thought Vicario today was excellent. You know, I think, you know, everyone, a lot of talk about Bissouma and Udogie and so on, obviously, but I did think Vicario was sort of low-key really good today, because there was a lot of pressure on him in terms of what his role was to pass the ball out from the back. He had a lot of the ball at his feet a lot of the time, and I think he just made so many good, smart decisions. You know, there were 2 or 3 times where he had to kick it out or kick it long, you know, and he made that decision and it was the right one. Generally, though, he was good in the build. I've made 2 or 3 really good saves. And I thought, in a heated atmosphere, in a difficult match against a really good pressing opponent, I thought he showed today why, you know, we heard a lot of people in Italy saying Vicario is a real talent and Spurs have got a good signing. Still a long way to go, as always with goalkeepers, but I thought he played really well today.
Yeah, I agree. He's just quietly going about his business and impressing every game. And I have to say the same for Mickey van der Ven. I mean, I know I said before we could go through the whole team, it basically feels like we are, but van der Ven for, was it 43 million in today's market? I think he's looking, if not a steal, then a very, very good bit of business. He's formed such a nice relationship with Romero, though they just dovetail so well with their different attributes. And I still haven't even, this is a mark of how well Spurs have played and how dominant they've been in games. I've still yet to see this absolutely sort of jet heel pace we all read about at the start of before he signed, you know, the quickest centre back in the Bundesliga. I mean, he obviously looks no slouch, but I'm sure there'll be a moment at some point this season where he's in a race with a rapid striker and shows just what he's all about on that front. But his composure, his decision making, as you said about Vicario, I think it's exactly the same with Van de Ven. So, yeah, just all positive, really. Is there any, to sort of wrap it up, or any sort of downsides to today at all? Or is it all just another good step in the progress that Postecoglou is instilling?
I don't think you could say there are any downsides. You know, you look at the way that the Spurs fans were at the end. You know, Postecoglou said in his interview with Lineker that he wants to get the fans buzzing again, and I thought that was so evident today. You know, and there were some spells where Arsenal were the better team. I think on another day Arsenal could have won. You know, Arteta said in his press conference that he thought they should have won, that they had moments and that they kind of, you know, it was errors that led to the goals, and I can see that. You know, Jorginho ultimately gave away the ball, and that's why Spurs scored. You know, but Spurs could say the same thing. You know, it's a penalty and an own goal ultimately that Arsenal got their two goals from. So I think both teams can go away sort of feeling like maybe they could have won the game. You know, and that might just be Spurs' thing, that they thought actually we could possibly have, you know, landed a real massive victory here. But you know, this is more than enough. You know, they played really well, they got a good result, and so many good performances across the team, and it continues momentum. You know, they've got Liverpool next week, right? But it's another tough game, but they're still unbeaten in the league, playing well, playing the Postecoglou way, and it kind of keeps the good vibes going.
It certainly does. It's just a pleasure to watch them at the moment. They'll go into that game with no fear whatsoever. Well, that pretty much wraps things up. I hope you're enjoying these reaction podcasts. We're enjoying the feedback you've been giving after every one we've done, including the midweek ones. Please feel free to get involved and let us know any particular thoughts, anything that might spark an interesting podcast, particularly during the midweek. That you're always open for ideas, and give us a rating and a review, please. And I guess we'll speak to you in midweek. So from us, from the Tottenham way, until next time.